Good morning. Hope everybody's had a good week. I know it's a stressful time of the year. Everybody's running around trying to finish up like normal stuff and doing all the holiday stuff. I know it gets busy. 2 weeks out from Christmas, I wanted to present a sermon that leads into the birth of Christ because I know next week we have the Christmas cantata. So as I began my study, I was reading through the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, along with commentaries and everything else I used to prepare. And I decided to preach a sermon on the miracles surrounding the conception of Jesus. You know, Joseph not killing anyone, going on a manhunt, like there's a lot of them. But as I was studying, I came across Mary's response to the angel Gabriel, and it slapped me in the face. So I changed directions. And it's crazy because Marianne and I talked earlier in the week, and she said she heard something about this, and she didn't even know I was preaching on it. And I didn't tell you I was either. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at a pretty long passage. Don't worry, I'm not going to read it straight through. And see what Scripture says about how Mary responded to being called to being the mother of our Messiah. So let's turn our Bibles to Luke 1, 26 through 56. Luke 1, 26 through 56. Like I said, we're not going to read straight through it because it's a lot. We're going to hit on some high points and touch on a lot of the conversational aspects of Gabriel speaking to Mary. And then Elizabeth gets thrown in there as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day. Lord, you've blessed us so much, more than we deserve. And I just thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for this church where we get to come and we get to worship you freely. I just thank you for this season where we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. I pray that we'll slow down and concentrate on that and let that be the focus. I pray that you'll be with me today as I present your word, and just that I do so in a way that's pleasing to you, Lord. Be with those that are traveling. There's a lot of people traveling this time of year. Keep them safe. Be with the people that are sick on our bulletin, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Amen. So my hope this morning is to reveal the character of Mary and the way in which she responds in such a trying time, in such a trying situation, and to expose the complexity of her circumstance and then also her obedience throughout that circumstance, because there's a lot that goes into it. But I ultimately want to point to her faithfulness in God and the hope that her story should bring us, and then also the hope that obviously the birth of our Savior should bring us, leading into the Christmas season. So we're going to start by taking a look at 26 through 38. And here we see the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, come to Mary and inform her of her soon-to-be pregnancy. In verses 28 and 29, we see the beginning of their conversation, and it says this: "And the angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be." So let's pause right here. Let's try to put ourselves in Mary's shoes. Let's try to see where she was at in this moment. The fact that an angel was speaking to her was enough to be concerned about. You know, Gabriel hadn't even presented his news to her yet. But she says, you look back at it, but she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. If an angel showed up in your living room tonight, like it would raise your eyebrows, okay? So it had to be a time of like, what is going on for Mary? And again, he hasn't even presented his news of her pregnancy yet. So she's shocked. I'll be honest, guys. If God ever decides to send an angel to me, I hope that, like, he brings a warm blanket and, like, something to make me at ease. Because I think most of you know, I've said it here, I've said it in youth group, like, I don't do things I can't see other than the Holy Spirit. If I can't fight it or shoot it, I don't want to play with it. So I hope that if God ever sends Gabriel, anyone to me, like an angel, I hope that it comes with a lot of peace, because I don't know how I'd handle Mary's situation, I'll be honest. And I'm a big guy, but I don't like things I can't see. So obviously, Mary's overwhelmed by the angel being in front of her, but also by the fact that Gabriel says that she's favored. So I think, I'm assuming, this is my opinion, I think Mary's wondering, like, why am I favored? Who am I? What have I done for this angel to be wherever she was when she was approached by him, and he calls me favored? What is this about? Well, then in verses 30 through 33, Gabriel tries to calm Mary and gives her news, the news that he brought. And this news will change her life, and it'll change the world forever. It reads, "Then the angel told her, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" So he says it again. And then next he says, "Now listen." If Pete came to me and said, "Now listen, Adam," or "We need to talk," I think it would take me right back to me being in school and a teacher or a principal going, "Now listen." And I'd go, "I'm in trouble." Or if Lori said, "Adam, we need to talk," I'd go, "What did I do now?" That's where my mind would be. So he says, "Now listen," because he wants her to pay attention. Gabriel's about to drop this bomb in Mary's lap. He says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." All right. So if Mary wasn't already confused and terrified, I'm pretty sure now she is. I'm pretty sure now she's really going, "I don't know if I want to keep talking to you." I mean, it seems scary. It seems confusing. She was just told that she would be pregnant, but the baby would have no earthly biological father, and that this baby would be the Son of God. So we need to realize also that Mary was knowledgeable. Mary knew the Old Testament. We'll see it in a minute through some other verses that we're going to read. Mary knew prophecy. She knew what the prophets had said in the Old Testament. But how, even being studied, how does somebody prepare for this news? You know? There's no like, "Hey, you're going to be pregnant as a virgin," like, for dummies book. Like, there's not a way to prepare for this conversation. So this is the fulfillment of a prophecy. We see in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For a child will be born for us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." So at this point, out of all the women in this area, this geographical area, Mary, only Mary, God has found favor on her to be the mother of Jesus. He chose her. Not some queen of a wealthy king, not some lady with a special high status, just Mary. She's just an ordinary woman, young lady. She was young. And she was a sinner, just like you and I. She was the fiance of a carpenter and a simple woman of humble character. You know, God could have chose anyone, but He chose Mary. So here we see God's plan and purpose for Mary and her life become reality right here in these scriptures. And through that, through the prophecies, through the prophets and the things they said, we see God's promises come true. And this is proof that God's promises do not fail. He follows through. You know, last Sunday in Sunday school, we were having a conversation, Paul, mainly because I forgot that I was supposed to teach for you. So we had a conversation. But we started talking about God's sovereignty and how reassuring it can be if only we trust in it. Because God's sovereign all the time. He's in control. But if we don't choose to trust in His sovereignty, it becomes useless. Our faith in Christ should be strong enough to drive us to submit to God's sovereignty. And that's what Mary is doing here. She's allowing God's plan to play out in her life. No matter how crazy the circumstances are. So let's see how it plays out for her. Let's see what she does. So moving forward, we see the angel Gabriel. And he reassures Mary and he tries to gain her trust by sharing with her that her relative, Elizabeth, is also pregnant. Through my study, like, I always thought it was Mary's cousin, and it may be, but it says relative. But then some other studies that I went through, might be her aunt, not real sure, but it says relative. So we know that she was kin to her. But he informs her that Elizabeth is pregnant as well. Well, this is a miracle in itself, because Elizabeth was not supposed to be able to have children. And she was also up in age. So God had a plan, and He used other people as part of this plan. So in verse 38, we see Mary's response and a shift in her demeanor. So if she finds out, Gabriel tells her about Elizabeth, and this is Mary's response. And watch the shift. She goes from confused and terrified to this. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Guys, we need to realize this wasn't a long conversation. I've basically read pretty much the whole conversation between Gabriel and Mary. It was not very long for her to shift from, "Holy cow, what's going on?" to, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word." And then he left. That's faith. That's faith. Because knowing me, if I was Mary, I'd have to talk this out for at least 4 hours. You can ask Lori. I need to talk through things. But just that quick, she changed her demeanor just like that. And she said, "I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to do this." And this wasn't like going to the store for somebody. Like this is a lifelong undertaking, but 9 months carrying a baby. But we see Mary submit to God's authority, His sovereignty. Guys, I think we need to take Mary's example of her faithfulness and her obedience and be encouraged to trust in God's plan for us. It's real easy for us to sit back and say, "God, I don't know what God's plan is for me. I'm not sure." He does. He has a plan for you, just like He had a plan for Mary. Before Mary became the mother of Jesus, she was just as ordinary as we are. She was an ordinary human being, just like you and I. And she went on about her life. just like everybody else. She was not known to be set apart at that point. But then one day God honored her faithfulness. He honored it. And he did this amazing work in and through Mary. She was just faithful. She was faithful to him before this. He saw something in her that he knew. And of course, he knows everything. But still, he used that faithfulness as part of his plan, and he honored it. And he did something amazing through her. Same thing with us, guys. When we're faithful to the Lord and we're faithful to doing God's work, we're faithful to doing what he's called us to do, God honors that. He really, really does. Doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life, but he honors our faithfulness. He honors it. And just like he did with Mary, he can and he will do amazing things with us. He'll do amazing things through us, in us. He will change our lives if we allow him, just as he did with Mary. Will anybody else ever be the mother of Jesus? Nope. Only one of those. Not even our Mary. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have amazing things planned for us. She got that card, and she played it really well. He's got a plan for us. If we allow his sovereignty to work through our lives, we can see those things come true. You know, we can all look back on our life, no matter our age, and we can see God's hand at work. It's pretty easy to see it after the fact. When we're in the middle of it, it's not always easy. We get caught up in the emotion of it, the hardship of it. It's hard. But when we look back, if we pay attention and we open our eyes, we can see God put this puzzle together. I'll tell you, for me, it's pretty awesome. I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. At 4 years old, I was dead set. Mom's about to laugh. I was going to be Davy Crockett. I had a coonskin cap. Still got it. It hangs off of a deer head in Liam's room. I had a rifle, and my Meemaw's couch was the Alamo. And I could probably still quote the movie. I mean, if you hadn't ever seen it, go watch it. The original now. Don't watch any fake stuff after that. The original one was legit. But I thought, like, this guy's got a cool life. Like, he's done a lot. He was a politician. He was this. He was that. He killed a bear. That's who I was going to be. That coonskin cap, y'all, mom sewed the tail on it probably 100 times. It's hanging by just one string, but it's still kicking. It's still alive. Not the raccoon, the hat. But I was going to be Davy Crockett. I had it figured out. But then he died in the Alamo, so, like, you know, probably a good thing it didn't work out. Because, you know. And then, as most of you know, like, I had plans of playing baseball. That was my plan. There was no plan B. That was it. And God blessed me. He gave me a gift. And it worked for a little while until I started getting hurt. I started getting hurt. And I got hurt bad, and my body started breaking down at an early age. And then I was lost. Y'all, I've been in church all my life. But I was lost for, I'd say, years. I was doing things my way, and they weren't good. They were not good. And I'll tell you about it. It's not anything I'm proud of, but it's part of my story. Then I fell into a career in construction. I say fell into it like as random as it could have been. I fell into it through baseball, actually. Baseball brought me into construction. And that's led to me being a business owner for 12 years. And that has allowed Lori and I to be in ministry and to lead our youth and to be standing right here today. God has taken 38 years of puzzle pieces and He's fit them together more perfectly than anything that I could ever make up. My plan was not to be here. My plan was so far from being right here. But God had a different plan, and I'm grateful for it. I would not trade playing ball in front of 40,000 people and making a lot more money than I do now for standing right here today. And that was God's plan. Did I know it? Guys, not a chance. Not a chance. Y'all that have been here as long as I've been here know that I did not think this. The same God that had a plan for Mary had a plan for Adam. And the same God that has a plan for me has a plan for every single one of you. So pretty soon after Mary's response to Gabriel, she sets out on a journey to go visit Elizabeth and to see if this angel is right. So when Mary gets close, she greeted Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, leapt in her belly, and she replied like this. She said, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt for joy inside of me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill what He has spoken of her." And then we immediately see Mary rejoice in the greatness of God and the truth of His word. And in verses 46 through 56, it records her response. It says, "And Mary said, 'My soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He has looked with favor on the humble condition of His servant. Surely from now on, generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and His name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear Him. He has done a mighty deed with His arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering His mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He spoke to our ancestors.' And Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Then she returned to her home." Again, guys, I can't imagine putting myself in Mary's shoes and having this demeanor. And she's a young lady. She's a young lady, and this is her response. So she finds out from Mary, like, what Gabriel said about Elizabeth is true. She's 6 months pregnant. Gabriel said she's in her 6th month. She's pregnant. "Let's go do this thing." That's basically her response. So let's put this into perspective real quick, and then we'll wrap up. Mary has been visited by an angel who informs her that she'll become pregnant, but not by her fiancé, Joseph. She then travels to see her cousin, relative, Elizabeth, and confirms the angel's message is true, because she's also pregnant. So up until this point, Mary's in a state of confusion and shock and terror, and then she goes to gratitude and rejoicing. She's praising God throughout this whole thing. There's no moment of poor, pitiful me. There's no pity party thrown. She does what the angel says, and she moves forward about doing God's business. And guys, listen, we haven't even touched on the fact that she has to go back home. She's already exhibited faith in what she's chosen to do. But listen here. Her temperament's already amazing. But the fact that she has to go back home, she could have chosen to go somewhere else. But she chooses to go back to her fiancé that could have legally divorced her. Back then, an engagement had to be legally done and separated, just like a marriage today. Not knowing what her fiancé was going to think of her, she still chose to go back. She could have also been lawfully stoned where she lived. She still chose to go back home. So her faith was already amazing, but the fact when she got done with Elizabeth after 3 months, she still took the first step to make the journey back home. That's a different level of faith that she exhibits. She continues to do God's work and to see how His plan is going to play out in her life. So I want to leave you with these 3 points that we can learn from Mary. The first one, God has a purpose and a plan for you, for me, and His plan is good. What is God's plan for you? And are you ignoring it? Are you running from it? Or are you running to it? If you're ignoring it, if you're running from it, I encourage you to stop. Stop and run towards God's plan for you. If you don't know what it is, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Just be obedient in your everyday relationship with Him. Just live for Him. Eventually, if you don't know exactly what that His plan is for you, you'll find out. Might slap you in the face one day. Number two, we need to trust in God's plan and receive it. We need to be receptive of that plan. God's promises are true and they're good, and His plan can always be trusted. This world will let you down. We will let each other down. This world we live in, it can't be trusted. But God's will, God's plan, it don't fail, guys. It don't fail. That battle's already been won. Number three, the last one. We need to rejoice in God's greatness and the salvation He offers each of us. Through all that Mary endured, everything that we just talked about, she never lost sight of how great our God is. She said it. We just read it, how great He is, the greatness of our God. And ultimately, His greatness brought her a son. But most importantly, His greatness brought even her a Savior. You see, even Mary was a sinner in need of a Savior, just as you and I are. It's mind-blowing to know that Mary gets this news. She carries a baby. She delivers a baby. She raises a baby. She keeps him alive, because that's important. She watches him grow up. And then she watches him die on a cross. And the same blood that runs down that cross that she saw to save us even saved her. That's mind-blowing. She carried the baby that will one day save her and give her eternity. Guys, God has a plan for us. It may not be what Mary's plan was. It won't be. It won't be. He did amazing things through Mary, a humble, ordinary young lady, and He can do amazing things through us if only we accept it. If only we accept His plan and we put it into action. We trust in His sovereignty and don't ignore it.